I'm Marcy Howard, and for the next hour, we're going to have a discussion about faith. The mission of About Faith is to gain peace and understanding with one another through answering questions about a variety of faiths. We are not here to debate right or wrong. We're here to gain knowledge and understanding of one another through respectful conversations with faith leaders about their own journey with faith. So I'd like to welcome two very special people to me. Welcome, Imam Islam.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here. And thank you, Ashish Modi, for being here.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
One of the things that I'm really excited about today is we're doing a program on a very special time. And I've asked Imam Islam to help us understand the special pilgrimage and celebration that they do this time of year. And so I'm going to kind of give it over to you, Imam, and you lead us in understanding the pilgrimage that you're going to talk about today.
Hello, everyone. My name is Imam Rafiqul Islam. I'm the Imam of the MCS Islamic Center in Shreveport. I would like to share with you about the life and legacy of Prophet Ibrahim and his sacrifice. And this is the season of Hajj and also the pilgrimage. I share with you the Prophet Ibrahim. He is one of the great prophets. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the God, gave him special the wisdom, even childhood. God says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. I give the Ibrahim the wisdom, lot of knowledge, even in childhood. And Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, God gave to him his power of debate, you know. When he childhood, he see that his community and people, you know, they're doing something wrong, he debate with them. When he grows up, he traveling, he born in Babylon, in Iraq. Then he travel one place to other place. And then he have two wives, one is Sarah, one is Hajar. He bring to Hajar and his baby boy is Ishmael in Mecca. And then with the order of God, he build the Baytullah, the house of the God. People, the Muslim today go for Hajj. When Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, he brought his family in Mecca. At that time, there is no people. There's no people is at all in Mecca. In the Quran, in the Ibrahim, in the one of the chapter in the Quran is named Ibrahim. Like, you know, one of the chapter I told before, the Mary, one of the chapter in the Quran is called like Joseph. So chapter of the Ibrahim, this is, say, رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي ذَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ. Oh my God, oh my Allah, I bring my family, some member of families nearby your house, but at that time there is no house. And then he make dua, oh Allah, oh God, put the people heart, they can come here in Mecca, because there, if they live there, there's no people, how can they live without the other people? He make dua, like he supplicate to God. So, and then he also supplicate for their provision, their livelihood, you know, their sustenance. And then he make dua, make supplicate for the safety for this place. And God accepted, you know. But when he brought his baby, the baby boy, this male, like his infant baby, and his wife, little food or drink, after a while it's finished. There's no people. and baby crying. The Hajar saw the mountain, it's called as Safa. And he went there, he looking the people, but maybe someone help her. She not see any people, she then running in the valley between the Safa and Marwa. And she went the other mountain, it's called Marwa. And she tried to looking the people, she not find out. So she seven time going and back, going, coming and going. Safa and Marwa. So any person go to the pilgrimage, their pilgrimage not be completed until they running seven time. And so this time, she saw where the baby Ishmael lay down, someone makes sound, and actually this is the angel Gabriel. He came, God sent him, and he digging the water. It's called Zamzam. You know, all the people went there, they drink the Zamzam water, and when they come back, they bring the Zamzam water. Water of Zamzam. And then this is, you know, the Prophet Ibrahim and his family, the seventh time the running Safa and Marwa, the Hajar. And Zamzam came from the God give it to them, yeah, and for all human being, through them, you know, when the baby Ismail, he crying for drinking and thirsty and hungry. And after that, the Prophet Ibrahim, he's the going and back, sometime Mecca, sometime the, you know, the place of the Jerusalem, in the all the place, the, you know, and yeah, at that time it's called all of the Syria, you know, the Great Syria. Great Syria at that time, the Philistine, Jerusalem, Syria, all this thing is one place. So he, other families like Sarah and Isaac, and Isaac has not born, not yet. They live there. So Prophet Ibrahim, he going back, and then he, God give him the, one time he saw a dream, he sacrificed his son, the Ishmael. Like his dream, he saw in the dream, he sacrificed his son. So one time, two time, three time, then he come back from there, and he explained to his wife and his son, and then the son say, "Oh God, oh my father, what your God command to you, do that. I will be patient, you know. Satajiduni inshallah minas sabirin." And then he took his son Ishmael for sacrifice, but God not want to sacrifice the son. He looking how much you love me, how much you love your family, how much you love this and that. And then he put his eye something, the cover, and to sacrifice, but he's not cutting anything. God sent down the big horn ram. Then this one is sacrifice. Then this one, the sacrifice, the ram. So nowadays, every Muslim, you know, those have enough wealth in the globe, everywhere, every country, they do the sacrifice, the animal. I think it's, I read also, like, you know, the previous, like, you know, some people, the Christian and the Jew, they also do sacrifice. And even our brothers, like in India, live with them, they also do sacrifice, but got their God name. So sacrifice the animal, there is every religious. But this start from the Prophet Ibrahim. They starting from him. They start, he does first time, he do sacrifice the animal. Also he going back and forth, other families. When he go back there, in his old, in the other family, Sarah leave, and then God sent three angels, came to his house as the guest. And he's very generous, Ibrahim, big heart. He go bring a calf for roasted for the eating, but the angels, they not eat anything. They say he kind of scared. So they say, Ibrahim kind of scared. So the angels say, don't scared. Where they're not human being, where the angels of God, we came to you. Actually, we're going to Lot, his nephew, another prophet is called Lot. He live in place like Jordan, the Dead Sea. He used to live there. And these people is the people of Lot, they're not good people. They like gay people, gay. So God sent the punish to them. So the angel say, we came to, God send us for punish the people of the Lot. By the way, came to you, we give the glad tiding. Your wife, the Sarah, will get the son. His name will be Isaac. The Sarah is start laughing. How is possible? Because she is very old at that time. So then she is laughing, start laughing. But God can do anything. He has power. He can do anything without any creation, help from creation. But creation cannot do anything without the God help, you know. And after that, the Ibrahim, peace be upon him, he came to Mecca again. And then with his son, Ismail, he kind of grows up. God commanded him to build the house of God. This is Mecca. This is big, they like look like the cube. All the people go there and do the Hajj and running that surround him. He built it. He's rebuilt. You know, in the Quran say, وَيَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. Ibrahim and Ismail, they raise the building of this place. You know, this is in history say, this house, the first house for worship. And this is God built through the Malaika, the angels of God. They first built it. And then the time of the great flood, the time of the Noah, the great flood came. And this house is God took it, you know, the kind of destroy everything. And then Ibrahim, he's rebuilt this house. And after that, all the prophets, all the messengers, they came, they do the Hajj. Like, you know, the prophet Moses and Dawood, Sulaiman, all that they came, they do the Hajj. Everybody go to the Hajj and they do sacrifice the animal. They do sacrifice the animal. And nowadays, you know, and then our prophet came, our prophet Muhammad, he also do same thing, you know. He do before Prophet Muhammad came, and people like pre-Islam is called, at that time, people continue do Hajj. From since Prophet Ibrahim to still nowadays, every year, people go to there doing the Hajj and sacrifice the animals, and they're running Safa and Marwa as the Hajar running there for his baby, the water and food. So all these ritual things go back to them. Nowadays, in the people then going the Hajj in Muslim, this is fifth pillar of Islam. First, they testify there's no God but God, and testify the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He is the messenger of God, his last and final message of the God. Second pillar is the pray 5 times. And the third pillar is fasting in month of Ramadan, like 2 months ago, we passed. And then fourth pillar, this give the charity for the 2.5, if have enough wealth. And fifth pillar is the Hajj. If a person have the enough wealth and he have the good health, and road is safety, he can able to go. Like this year, people not allowed to go there. But if you have this condition, 3 conditions, you have enough wealth, good health, and road or suicide is good, he can able to go. So he have to go once lifetime. When the people come back and they do all this, when they go there, the man, they have only put 2 clothes. two white garments without any sewing the regular two garments on his lower part and the upper part. And they do the tawaf. I'll do all this thing, these two with two garments. And women, the sister, they can put any kind of cloth, but it's best they can put the white cloth. And then nowadays it's like very easy. You can stay in the hotel or, you know, but the previous, you know, that's kind of very difficult, you know, going and do all this ritual thing. You know, the God say, whoever doing the Hajj and his God accepted, like he's all the sin is forgiven by God. If anyone go, but either it's need to go, but it's pure money, you know, it's not nowadays. If you have to, your earning of resource should be the pure. Now you're cheating the people, not you, all this kind of earning the money, then you go for Hajj. No, this is not accepted. You have their own wealth and it's pure wealth. Then God will be accepted. Other than is not will be accepted. If anyone the Hajj and the pilgrimage is accepted, he's come back, he's like have no sin. And then people, you know, they're bringing some water in the water of Zamzam. And this is, you know, also there is kind of, this water is very holy water. And this is, I just mentioned, like this one, God sent the angel Gabriel, and he dig this one, you know. He dig that this is pure water. Whoever drink any kind of the intention, any kind of sickness, his sickness will be gone. It will be gone. But sometimes it is the hand of God, but you know, some people get cured, some people not cured, you know. But this is holy water. And some people come back from the Hajj, they is like change their life. And some people is still same page, you know, they do what they're doing before, doing is still after that. So that means that sign, their Hajj is not accepted, you know. If accepted their Hajj in pilgrimage, they will be completely changed. And those people is like, you know, and people cannot go every year the Hajj. And life is required to go once a lifetime. But the sacrifice the animals, it is required the every year if we have enough wealth. So if you have enough wealth, you do sacrifice for animal, for God. But God say, neither the animal's blood or flesh reach to me. Is God not, is not reach to God, the flesh or blood? It is the reach the our pure heart intention. What I'm doing? I'm doing for God, or I'm doing for show up the people, or I'm doing for something else. You know, if someone do anything for God, God will be accepted and he give the reward. But if anyone doing for the show up or for the name or fame, he not get anything.
Sheesh, do you have a question for the imam?
Yes, matter of fact, he brought in a couple of very important points in his discussion. And one of them deals with the rituals and second one deals with the purpose of pilgrimage. And intention of pilgrimage. Why do people do pilgrimage? My question to Imam is, we do know that once in a lifetime, all Muslims, given good wealth and good health, you know, they should be going on pilgrimage to Makkah, and they are called Hajis when they come back from pilgrimage. What kind of special preparations are required prior to making a pilgrimage to Hajj?
As I mentioned, you know, the first and foremost, this is the commandment of God. You have to, if you have the enough wealth and good health, you have to go. But same time, you know, I say that he have the wealth, but his wealth is not the pure. You know, he may be cheating the people, earning the money, this kind of wealth. So he's except this is not his belt, you know. So if you go not one time, if you go like 10 times, it still is not no have meaning. The going there, his sin still will be there. His sin will be there. Even if he took the money, someone money, he get more sin, you know. So, and I told that God only accepted if someone have the pure heart and pure doing for God. So only God can accept it. Other than God not accepted. God know what, they don't know. I don't know, you don't know, anyone don't know what is inside our heart. Only one person, the God, he know whatever inside our heart.
Yeah, so basic purpose of pilgrimage we talk about is obviously the purification of soul. Purification, as Jesus mentioned, that you have a pure heart, clean heart. And yes. Second purpose is you're asking for forgiveness, for redemption of sins. And whatever you have done, you are asking for forgiveness. And then you want to continue living the life in a pure way after pilgrimage. If yes. you not continue, then obviously your pilgrimage has no meaning. So it's yes. just not going with a pure heart, but coming back with a pure heart and continuing other five pillars of charity and other things that we talked about on the program. And then you actually accept the meaning of true pilgrimage.
Yes.
So rituals we are talking about, obviously there are two different kinds of rituals if you look at it. You know, people perform rituals for the personal benefits. For instance, if I'm having some celebrations in my family or my village, it's for the personal benefit. But pilgrimage is another part of ritual that you do for the benefit of society, for the nation, and for the people of believers who follow the same path. And that's the part of ritual that pilgrimage is more focused on a wider sense to benefit the society, not just personal benefit, the benefit of society.
And yes, because if a person, he come back and he like the have good person, he's not cheating, he's not lying, he's not stealing, that means society automatic diploma, society will be good. Yes.
Yeah. See, in Hindu pilgrimage, for instance, it started with something called Sanskritization. Sanskrit is a very ancient language. And different holy places, they did periodic festivals to bring the people to the places and provide them opportunity to spread the idea of Sanskrit language and the meaning of certain Sanskrit verses. Same thing is with pilgrimage. When you go on Hajj, you meet like-minded people who believe in the same faith. And just by being in the company of the people of the same faith, you also become more devoted and become more pure. And then you bring that vibrations and those good vibrations back to your community and spread it around. So that's a very important meaning of going to Hajj or any pilgrimage, I believe, is not just for your own benefit, but also to benefit people around you and community that surrounds you.
I am really glad that I heard the details of this pilgrimage that you prepare yourself for and you take, because it reminds me of really everyone's faith of literally stopping our lives in the way that we're doing it on a daily basis and having an intentional heart to go before God and be renewed and be restored and be transformed into a better person and a better human being, a better community gathering. It sounds like that God has really joined us together to be in our faith and our history and our stories, and yet be as one in the desire to get forgiveness from Him and get redemption from Him and get a renewal of our lives from Him. This has been an amazing story, and yet it's familiar.
Even when do sacrifice the animal, even here, We are prepared this year also to go sacrifice any money here, you know, go farm. And but when the, any person do sacrifice the animal, the meat of the this he make divided three parts, you know. One part going for the needy people, poor people, you know, those cannot able to sacrifice. This go benefit for the neighbor community. Also the one part is go to the friend, a family, you know. They have a lot of friends, so I give it to them. And one part you can use it. One part use yourself, one part you give it to the friend and family members, and other parts good for needy people.
What is this halal, meaning of halal? When you sacrifice animal and you call it halal meat, can you explain that a little bit?
Yes, this is Judaism too, and Christianity. I don't know exactly that, but this is the Judaism, the kosher. There's two things, you know. One is the name of the God. When you sacrifice, you mention the name of God. The second thing, you have to cut the neck, the two being everything you need to cut. That the purpose of that. So blood coming out the animal body, the most of the blood, like 100% the blood, and blood is not good, healthy. You know, this is good, bad for the human being. If the animal blood going to the human being body, so it is a kind of disease there. So that way, you know, God know better than us. So he told us, you know, he do sacrifice animal. So that's bad thing going out. So this is called halal. There are two things. You do put the name of the God. A second thing should be slaughtered.
How you slaughter them?
Yes.
Now, are there special people that are assigned to do that kind of thing? Or can anybody in the congregation do it? Or only imams do it? Or... How does that work?
It's better to whoever do sacrifice the animal, is better he do himself, if he could do that, you know. And if he's like scared or he never done his life, so anyone can do that. Of course, and some people they request that, like, imam, you can do for me. So I do. But anyone can do that.
Okay, so the participation then in the pilgrimage is what everyone offers to God. And the sacrifice is done as those that have availability to do it and can do it.
No, Hajj also, like everybody know, those who have enough wealth and good health. Like a person have not used to have the money, now he have enough money, because, you know, it's a lot of cost going to Hajj, especially like, you know, if I live in India, is too much cost. People, like some people, they prepare going to Hajj, it take year and year and years, maybe they take 20 years, they gather money, then they can go. So maybe a person, you know, he collect the money, or he start saving the money, and then he get old or he get sick. So he cannot go that. So he have the money and he have the good health, then he can. This is then one obligatory on him. If he have no wealth, not obligated for him, but he have no good health, it's not obligated for him too. So Hajj is not for everyone. It's not obligated for each and everyone. It is only people with enough wealth and good health. And they can go to there and come back. You know, that's need to good health and wealth.
I want to add one more thing, that similar rituals or pilgrimages are happening in different faith as well. Christian faith, people go to Rome, Hindu faith, people go to something called Tirtha Yatra. Tirtha means a ford that easy to pass to cross the river. And Yatra means travel. So you're going from one place to the God's place, and the Tirtha is connecting those two places so you can easily travel from your place to the God's place. And that's what you call Tirtha Yatra. And most of the Hindu festivals and Hindu rituals and pilgrimage places are placed on the bank of holy rivers, like Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati. And so there are different places for pilgrimage for Hindus, just like Muslims go to Mecca, Hindus go to different places of pilgrimage with the same intention of connecting yourself with the divine source and bringing back, again, you have to be in good health and you have to be good wealth to travel, because most of the time those pilgrimages are taking on foot. Obviously, nowadays, with the facilities that have improved, people take bus and train and other places. But in old days, people used to travel on foot, and there will be a long journey. So obviously, good health is very important. But we can talk about it some other time, about the pilgrimages, places for our faith. But Imam, I think you're bringing a very good point about what kind of conditions used to be there and how it has become easier, yet it is still complicated to go on Hajj. So,
Imam, I have a question about the Zoom Zoom water. could you tell us, I don't understand where the water comes from. I understand the taking the water as a representation of when God gave a well to Abraham. But how do you get water today? Where does the water come from?
Is Zamzam. It's called, yes. Zamzam. Okay. Zamzam means stop, you know. Because when the God sent the angel Gabriel, and he dig the water, baby Ismail is there, and the water is gushing. It's coming under the ground, of course.
Yeah.
You know, the how is blessing water, you know, in Makkah, and especially at that time, desert, there's no water. No water, no life. So, no, but it is a special water. This is a special water. And then Hajar came, and she says, Zamzam, stop. I mean, it means she and put something so water not go here and there. Since this water is there, and this is like the well, you know, and still the since like all the people go to the Hajj, even the people of Makkah and also people of the Medina, they drink this water, the pure holy water, every day. And all the people who go to the Hajj or Umrah means they can go anytime, they go bring the water and give it to the friend, families, and they when they are drinking, and so never water, never the lack of water. This is blessing water.
Yes.
And is a lot of people, you know, one of the, my friend, he had bad diabetes, you know. So he say he been there, he took every day, he had the installation, and he said, if I going to the God house, and I still need to there for the installation, so no. So he say, I without installation, he been there, he said, I'm drinking the water, I not feel anything, the sickness. After like he lived there like maybe a month or so, after come back, then he start taking, but as long as he's there, he not take anything. So this is the, it is say if any person have sick and he have intention for, like they take the medicine, if he take this water as his intention for the cure is for his sickness, God will cure him.
Wow.
God will cure him.
Okay, I had one more thing. When they run the seven times,
Safa and Marwa, there's two mountains.
Yes.
Safa and Marwa.
Do you have any idea how long or how high the trail is? Because when I think of a mountain, I'm thinking, how do they do that?
Yes, it's nowadays, I went 2015 in the Hajj. When the tempest happened, a lot of people die, in 2015. So nowadays, that's in the mountain there because everything they make it. Like, and that's only one. This now they make one, two, three, four is like stories, people so that they can running, going back easily. If you only the regular, so people will be tempted, people will die. So, and it's quite a long place, there is around 5 to 7 minutes one way. So he's a regular with the people, but in the middle, they have to jogging fast, because the Hajar, when in the mountain, she can saw her son, Ishmael, but in the valley, she not saw the baby, so she running fast. So the every person, where to go, when the Hajj, when the one in the middle of the path, the valley, they say like, now there is no valley right now, or no mountain right now, but they have pointed, you have to here to here, you're running, you're jogging. So it takes like 5-6 minutes. So a person is 7 times, at least 40 minutes, 40 to 50 minutes. If the strong person, if someone like not that strong, it takes more. But some people very old, they went there, they sit on wheelchair, and other people pushing them, but it's 7 times going and back.
So they help one another get up and down.
Yes.
Are there special prayers or anything that they say during
the Ramadan? Yes. All this place, the special prayer and whatever you make supplicate here, supplicate will be accepted. And especially they say when they are, this is named to mountain in Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. Then Safa and Marwa, it is the Sha'ir, it is a great sign of the God, So they have to say by mouth, and they have to say, La ilaha illallah, they have to make, remember the God, all the blessing of the God, the continue, Subhanallah, when people go to the Hajj or Umrah, they kind of forget everything is back home. They're very happy and they're like sinking in there. Nothing their mind. Even home, wife, children, even business, job, no. People forget everything. When they are, they completely 100% they put their focus there automatically.
Yes. Now, do the men of the family do this, or does the whole family do it? Do they go as a family with the children and the wife? Who does this?
Usually, when you go to Umrah, I say you can visit anytime. People go usually with the families, wife, children. But the first time, you cannot take the children because 3 million people, you cannot take the children. It's kind of risky. And people, if they have enough wealth, they go husband and wife. Or some person, they took their mother. If maybe the mother never done, my father passed away early, he took his mother, sometimes his sister, sometimes he go himself in the Hajj. The Hajj time, not the encourage took the kids because the kind of dangers. The Umrah, they can go anytime. So you can take at that time, your whole families.
Ashish, I heard you mention some of the things that in India they do in pilgrimages. Did you have some special one that is has some of these components to it, or that makes a connection as far as a parallel in what they're trying to do? Do you have anything like that in your faith?
Yes. For instance, he describes Zumzum, and similar to that, when Hindu people go on pilgrimage, we respect our holy rivers, Ganga. And most of the people who come back from pilgrimage, they bring the bottle of Ganga water, they call it, and they keep it in the house. And it's also considered very sacred water. Just like what he said, it cures illnesses. Ganga water, they say, never gets dirty. You put in a bottle and it will remain fresh for years and years. So yes, that's something parallel we can talk about. Other thing we can talk about is, again, with the pilgrimage, health is very important. So there are certain places in Himalayas, it's called Gangotri, it's one of the pilgrimage places. And it's very difficult to go there for elderly people. And so normally a son would take a mother and it's a very strenuous journey. And many times they cannot make it because it's up high in mountains and snow-capped mountains, the roads are very treacherous. However, if one can perform it, they believe that there's redemption of sins and purification of soul. So yes, there are a lot of parallels that every faith has it, and purpose basically remains the same, that you are devoting that particular journey and purifying yourself to the higher self and coming back and retaining the higher self and helping others achieve the same objective. So yes.
I'm very interested in seeing, Ashish, are there parallels to traditions and important things that are parallel to these five pillars?
Well, there are different places of pilgrimage in Hindu faith. But if we talk about four pillars of pilgrimage where people ought to visit once in a lifetime, so there is a place called Badrinath, which is up north in Uttar Pradesh. There is a Puri that's in east of India. Then Rameshwaram temple, that's in south, and Dwarka in west. So basically, if you look at it, they're covering all four points of India and making them as a places of pilgrimage. The most significant pilgrimage that happens is something called Kumbh Mela. And the parallel to that is Zamzam water that we are talking about. Basically, there is a story goes that at one point there was a churning of ocean, and in the ocean there was a pot that's what called kumbh that contained elixir of life kind of water. And there was a fight between the evil forces we call asuras and devas, which are the good forces, to obtain the part of elixir. And that time Lord Vishnu intervenes and gives the part to the good forces, which are called devas. And they distributed that part to four different places around India. And those four places are considered as holy places for people to go on pilgrimage. So when we're talking about Zamzam, similar to we are talking about the water, that gives life, elixir of life, and how those good forces put those parts in different places, which became later places of pilgrimage for Hindu faith. And it is a very big thing. It happens every 3 years. Millions of people go to four different places for Kumbh Mela, they call it. And every 12 years, there's a Mahakumbh Mela, which is a date is determined according to the astrological calculations and planetary configuration. And that takes place in Allahabad. And that's called Mahakumbh Mela. And millions of Hindu devotees from all over India want to be there because it's considered a very auspicious day to be there with other devotees.
I have one more question quickly.
Okay.
If a person never is able to do a formal pilgrimage to Mecca, then how does your faith provide a way for God to work in their life in a way that he works in that person's life during the pilgrimage? Is there things that in your faith that you can do if you never have the opportunity to do of the pilgrimage?
It is God decided when the prophet Ibrahim again go back, when he build the house of Allah, the God house in Mecca, God say, "Oh Ibrahim, proclaim, announce the Farhaj." He said, "Oh God, how the my sound, because the Mecca is most of the mountains surrounded, how my voice go to the people, and is the whole of the globe." God say, "Oh Ibrahim, this is your job, just a proclaim. My job will be the people can hear, and this is say when the Ibrahim proclaim wasn't fil nas bil hajj, there's a people at that time, those who are alive, those is not come, not yet. It's still those people come until the last day. Everyone say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. When the people go there, they say this word, labbaik, I'm present, God. I'm here, God. La sharika laka labbaik. They have no partner with you, All the kingdom belong to you. We are present with you. So at that time, those his sound, when he announced all the people, in those, only those say labbaik, the God writing for them, they can come. So God decide who will go there, who will not go there. And, the God decide who will get the more money, who get the less money, who get more life, who get less life, who get more beauty, who is everything decided by God. So if anyone have no money, so there's no blame on him, he have to go for Hajj. No. This is, it is God decided.
I have a question. For instance, when people of Hindu faith go on pilgrimage, they're just like you're sacrificing animals, Hindus sacrifice something dear to them, in a sense, something personal, or they decide to give up some bad habits, or decide to give up certain food, so that, or many people go and shave their heads, respect to the pilgrim, respect to the God. So that's a different kind of sacrifice people make that is personal. I will not do this from now on. I will not eat this food from now on. This is the hair is my beauty, and I'm going to give up my physical beauty in order to connect with my internal beauty. Is there anything else people do, sacrifice or give up or take vows when they go to pilgrimage or after they come back from Hajj?
There's like when you go to pilgrimage, the one of the, is required, he have to take out his, if it's a man, he have to take out his the shave the hair, and the female, the little cut it, and they also go to there, the stone, the devil, the shaitan, because when the prophet Ibrahim took his son for sacrifice, the devil came, and he deceived, Allah, the God, command Ibrahim, took the stone and he can throw the shaitan. So people go there, but there is no shaitan right now. They say, you doing there, but actually you do yourself. Whatever, you have the bad habit here, you get up, So that's, main thing, but if any have enough wealth, he can go more than once, Or also other call is called Hajj. It is timing the Hajj, another called Umrah. Umrah is mean visit the house of God. You can go any time of the year. Any time of the year, there's a lot of reward, a lot of your sin also forgiven, you know. But again, this one, I mean, only these people can go there and abide.
This is a very personal thing, isn't it? Although you all have the traditions that you do during the pilgrimage, it's a very, very personal thing in what this God is doing.
Actually, it is not a real personal thing. This is the obligatory, all of this thing. You only put this white two cloth. You cannot do other regular cloth. Then he cannot put at that time, he cannot cut at that time here. When he finished this, then he have took off your bowl or you shave your hair. And then he have to go pulpit the, what is called the shaitan. And then he have to go like running Safa and Marwa, and he do tawaf into the, all these things is have part of the Hajj. You have to do that. And purpose of that, you follow the commandment of God, so that way your sin will be forgiven, and when you come back, you will be the good human being.
So in other ways, not just a physical act of visiting holy place, but it also implies mental and requires a lot of moral discipline and continuous discipline throughout your life. And through that discipline, you're also impacting the community and your family who is nearby you. So you are going to Hajj or any pilgrimage, but the effect of that pilgrimage stays for a very long time. It also changes lives of others. I do remember a lot of family that my family knew, they would come back and bring gifts and then give it to other people, and are so that they also become a part of this pilgrimage the person has just completed. Am I correct, Father?
You know, if you have no patience, when you go to the pilgrimage, you have no patience, so you cannot do the pilgrimage. So that means you learning the how you can tolerate it. Something bad to happen to you, like there's like 3 million people, you know, so it's kind of, everything is difficult. So that give you how you handle the bad situation. You need to patient a lot of things. So if you learn from this thing, when you come back your home, and if you continue patient, one of the great quality of the human being. So this thing, you know, improve, yes.
Changes your life, yes, sir.
Wow, this has been really interesting. And again, I have so many more questions. And so I would like to be able to talk about pilgrimages. And I would like to be able to hear from some of our other faiths that we have on the panel about their pilgrimages. But I want to say a blessing for you, Imam, and your congregation in this special time that you're going to be spending this week, to be able to be touched by God in a very special way.
It's called Eid Mubarak. Eid Mubarak. Mubarak means blessing.
Thank you very much. And Ashish, thank you so much for bringing in some of the pilgrimages and the ideas of pilgrimage from the heart and God speaking to us and being with us. This has been a very special program today. Thank you both for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to About Faith on Red River Radio. I hope you enjoyed meeting our guest panel today. If you have any questions that you would like to ask the panel or have them address it, please email us at redriverradiomail@gmail.com. That's redriverradiomail@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in next week to Red River Radio at 1 p.m. for Illuminations. And don't forget to tune in 2 weeks for conversations about many important topics that we will continue to be talking about as we go forward, looking and learning about the people of faith in our community. This is Marcy Howard with lots more questions about faith. So thank you for being with us today.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Red River Radio, our staff or advisory board, or LSU Shreveport. This program copyright 2021.